Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. I am Rick Muscoso, one of your co-hosts here this morning, and want to welcome back all of our returning viewers and listeners out there. We're really excited about this episode today. And if you want to learn more about the Bottled Business Sense Show, you can go ahead and look at our social media links down below this video, as well as visit our website at bottledbusinesssenseshow.com for previous episodes. There's a whole host of marketing, business, and legal topics that apply to your small business to help you run efficiently, as well as protect your business from a legal aspect that Bill always talks about. And you're just welcome to go back and take a look at any of those previous episodes. We also welcome any feedback that you have, as well as any topics that that's related to your business that you would love to hear us discuss on the show. So drop us a line at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com or our phone numbers as well. You can go ahead and reach out to us, and that's below this video. So with that being said, we have a great episode here on tap for today. And with that, I'll let Bill introduce himself, as well as what our topic is for this morning. So,
yeah, good morning. Bill. Good morning, Rick. We've talked a lot about how you get your business to prosper and how you protect it. And of course, that's what our show's all about. But as a business lawyer, I have a 3-tier practice, and we cover a lot of different areas within that practice. And that would be, as a business lawyer, I obviously practice asset protection. I help form corporations and LLCs to help people protect their business and their personal assets. I then help them with every kind of employment contract and agreement they might need when they get larger and bring on employees. And of course, I do estate planning for the family of that business owner who ultimately asks me to make sure that those protected assets are passed on to his or her heirs in order to avoid probate and other issues that come up. But today we're going to talk about the employment aspect of my business and perhaps your business out there. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner that currently has employees, the topic of sexual harassment is rampant. We've done a show or two on that before. This is going to have a little bit different twist on it, and it's going to really talk about the types of sexual harassment, how easy it is to get intertwined with it. And of course, that could cost your company thousands and thousands of dollars if a lawsuit is filed, not to mention the fact that if it's a smaller company, it could even cause bankruptcy. But suffice it to say that Title VII of the United States Code prescribes all conduct of a sexual harassment nature within the workplace. That's not something you have to specifically remember per se, but some of the things I'm going to talk about today would certainly behoove you to jot down to make sure that you're on the right track as you conduct your business. And so let me start out by giving a couple of definitions, really. There are two types of sexual harassment. One is called quid pro quo sexual harassment, and the other is called hostile environment sexual harassment. And sometimes unwelcome sexual conduct constitutes sexual harassment that overlaps with each other, quid pro quo and hostile environment. But suffice it to say that the law provides that sexual harassment occurs when there is a submission to such conduct made either explicitly or implicitly as a condition of someone's employment. So if we took quid pro quo, quid pro quo, say that three times fast, right? That occurs when there's submission to or rejection of such conduct by an individual, which used as a basis for an employment decision, point blank. So quid pro quo, sleep with me or you don't get promoted. Sleep with me or you don't get a raise. Go out with me or you don't get a raise or get promoted. Things of that nature, whereas a hostile environment might be certain words that you say, like you look great in that dress, or you touch somebody's arm and say, boy, you've done a great job, or put your hand on their shoulder, or say, I like your legs, or your breasts are looking great today. All these kinds of things could constitute a hostile environment in which it makes it uncomfortable for a person to perform their job. So you can have this overlapping both quid pro quo and hostile environment at the same time, because while they're theoretically distinct claims, the line is not always clear. Many times it involves both of them. So
really what you're talking about is a kind of a more, on one side, it's a sexual bribe for better or continued employment, and then on the other hand, it could be an innocent comment. Really, is what you're talking about?
But it could be innuendos or comments, but they're not innocent. They end up being taken by the person who receives them as being offensive. And while you may intend them to be innocent, I find most oftentimes when these types of things are said or done, they end up maybe being, you intend to do it. Maybe you don't intend to harass the person, but the content of what you say or do is intended. And that
even a simple comment like haircut, or you look great today.
Well, that could possibly be, but it has to be a long course of conduct over time. One or two incidents is not going to apply. And that was a subject of another show that we did. So I don't want to get into too much of how long it has to go on. I'd rather just point out to our listeners and viewers today what it is, so you can avoid it altogether, right? The easiest way to get rid of this stuff, to make sure you don't do it, is not to participate in it at all, even if one time may not suffice. Now, for hostile environment, one time may not suffice. But you ask somebody to go to bed with you or they're not going to get promoted, that's going to pretty much carry the day. Yeah. So let's make it clear that employees have the right to work in an environment free from discriminatory intimidation, ridicule, and insult, whether based on sex, race, religion, or national origin. And today we're talking, obviously, about sex. So let's take a supervisor who makes sexual advances toward a subordinate. Let's say you're a supervisor now in the job. You're not even the owner of the company. You make an advance toward a subordinate employee. You may communicate this implicit threat to adversely affect your job status, and it becomes a hostile environment, or a quid pro quo, as we've just defined. Now, if this is reported to the company and the company doesn't do anything about it, that sexual harassment may culminate in charges against the company because the supervisor did something of which the company was aware, okay? And you have to remember that sexual harassment may also culminate in a retaliatory discharge accusation if a victim tells the harasser or his or her employer that he or she will no longer submit to the harassment and then is fired subsequent thereto. So you not only have a claim of discrimination in that instance, but now you have a claim of retaliation, two separate and distinct claims, okay? So distinguishing between the two types of harassment is necessary when determining an employer's liability, but while categorizing sexual harassment as either quid pro quo or hostile environment or both, these distinctions, Rick, should not limit an investigation which should always occur and which should consider all of the evidence available under both theories. So if somebody reports something like this, you better have your company HR department, or you, if you don't have an HR department, you better have that investigated or you run into some big, big problems. The gravamen, folks, of a sexual harassment claim is that the alleged sexual advances in whatever form were unwelcome. Now listen to this. The fact that sex-related conduct was voluntary, okay, in the sense that the complainant, whoever it might be, was not forced to participate against her will in the sex, is not a defense to a sexual harassment claim brought under Title VII. So if you sexually harass somebody and say, for example, you're not going to get promoted unless you have sex with me, and that person has sex with you voluntarily, that doesn't mean she doesn't have a claim, or he. In other words, this does not have to be a rape situation. Okay, that's the point we're trying to get across. The victim may intend to have sex, but only has sex out of a fear of not getting promoted, of getting fired, or some other situation within the workplace. Very, very important. The correct inquiry is rather whether the victim, by his or her conduct, indicated that the sexual advances were unwelcome, not whether the actual participation in sexual intercourse was voluntary. Let me repeat that. The correct inquiry that a court is going to look into is whether the victim, by his or her conduct, whoever the victim may be, indicated that the sexual advances, whatever they might have been, were unwelcome, not whether ultimately that person participated in a sexual act. Okay? It's very, very important. So that's why this stuff is so steamy, no pun intended. You know, it's got to be really looked out for. And we're going to talk a little bit at the end of the show about what I would suggest to do to prevent some of this stuff.
Boy, and I mean, it can get really messy, especially if you're a small business entrepreneur and you're a solopreneur and it's just you and your admin. Then you get into a situation where it's he said and she said, and how do you prove anything, right?
Well, that's going to be a credibility issue. However, that's what reviews are for, right? That's what drop files are for, to make notes of everything that was said and done that you think may be called into question. If somebody is acting a little strange, or somebody is saying they're going to do something or offended by something, it might not hurt for you as the employer to make a drop note in their file of what occurred from your perspective, or to have that person immediately meet with HR with a witness present in the room to get the full story. Don't wait. Do it right away. Sexual harassment, you know, isn't just a problem in show business or big business. Employers, including small businesses, as you just mentioned, Rick, are responsible for protecting their employees and their organizations from harassment and its legal ramifications. Believe me, the ramifications are disastrous. Let me give you a few examples, and I've jotted some of these down, so I may read a little of this. Dunkin' Donuts franchise owner in New York agreed in August to pay $150,000 to settle a federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission lawsuit after his manager repeatedly harassed young female employees. There's a company called McWhite's. It's a funeral home in Fort Lauderdale, which, according to its website, has fewer than 10 employees. Nevertheless, its owner agreed in May to pay $85,000 to settle harassment charges filed against him by employees. What's going on in that funeral home is what I'd like to know, right?
Yeah.
Or take the, I believe it's pronounced Achiote, A-C-H-I-O-T-E, restaurant in San Ysidro, California, which in April agreed to pay $27,000 to settle a harassment and retaliation suit. It was found that the owners failed to properly respond when a male manager was caught videotaping male employees in the restroom. The settlement required the restaurant owners to develop harassment policies and provide training to employees and managers. And there go is what you got to do. You got to have policies in place, have your lawyer draw up a handbook, make sure the policies are provided to the employees, have them sign off on receipt of the handbook, make sure you have employee training once a year, make sure your managers are trained individually, make sure they know that their responsibility is to report this kind of conduct immediately. And that $27,000 paid by the restaurant may not have seemed like a lot, but that's typically because the charge was nipped in the bud, and there was probably some evidence that supported a smaller settlement. But believe me, these things go into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Small employers would be well advised to adopt an adequate anti-harassment policy, as I just said, provide training to their employees, as I've just said, and managers, and follow the policy if the employee makes a complaint. Despite all of this, a recent poll has shown that 67% of small employers have no anti-harassment rules or training in place. None. Zero. Zip.
You bring up an important point, and we dedicated a whole episode to this that's located on the website. We talked about policies and procedures, right. Important, right. Having an employee handbook. Folks, go to thebottlebusinesssenseshow.com and go ahead and just enter in employment handbook, and you'll see a number of different shows related to what Bill's talking about in more detail. So it's extremely important to take heed of what Bill's talking about here, especially early on in your business. And if you don't have this in place, man, boy, you can see the result of the other side. So be prepared.
You heard the old expression, right, Rick? What was it? I'm trying to think, was it some sort of a car transmission commercial or something of that nature? Was it pay me now or pay me later? Right. I can't remember exactly what it was, but that was a motto that went on in the marketing business for years. And it basically says, invest some money now or pay big later on when the car blows up and breaks down and your transmission is gone. You know, you have to pay your lawyer, invest money in a good solid 30, 35 page comprehensive handbook. Make sure policies are in place. Make sure you have consent forms drawn up for employees to sign off on receipt of the policy so they can't say they never received them. Make sure you invest in training. Have your lawyer or your HR department participate in training once a year for not only the employees, but specifically for the managers individually as well. This is all important stuff because, remember, unwelcome sexual advances or requests for sexual favors, verbal or physical or offensive remarks about a person's sex can create a hostile work environment in addition to just quid pro quo comments themselves. Remember, both men and women can be victims and perpetrators of sexual harassment. Remember that harassment can be the victim's supervisor, coworker, or even a customer if you know what's going on and you don't do anything about it. Sexual harassment violations are enforced by the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, otherwise known as the EEOC, in California by the Department of Fair Employment and Housing. Sexual harassment laws cover all private and public employers with 15 or more employees. But beware, if you've got less than 15 and a claim comes your way under state law. And some states and local governments have extended these laws to very small companies, as I've just mentioned, with fewer than 15 employees. So you're buck naked here. Again, bad pun in this show, but you're exposed. I can't seem to get away from these things. You're exposed to massive lawsuits if you don't invest the money to have these policies and this training and in place, these contracts that you need to have somebody sign off. And I'd even have another contract in place, have an arbitration agreement signed by the employee that if something happens and there's a dispute regarding any condition of employment, you agree to go to binding arbitration. That might be a viable option rather than going through the court system. So I hope this has been helpful for people. It's been a pretty straightforward and succinct show, and I can't emphasize enough that you might even say this is a sales pitch, folks. Not necessarily for me, but for you to go out and get a lawyer if you don't have one and protect your business. Please do it, because your business may be protected under an LLC or an S corp, but that doesn't mean it itself can't go bankrupt if you're sued, or it itself can't suffer severe consequences financially if it's sued. Because while your car and your home and your house may be protected, your business won't be. And if you don't have a business entity, then you're really, dare I say it again, exposed. So, Rick's laughing and having a good time with this, as he should, folks. But this is serious stuff, and you need to make sure you're on top of this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this topic, the content of this topic, can literally shut you down. So, very important information to take care of and be prepared for. So, if anyone out there has questions in related to this this episode, or anything related to this episode, please reach out to Bill. He's an expert in this area and can certainly point you in the right direction. If not, he can certainly help you out if you find yourself in this situation. So, Bill, what's the best information for them to get a hold of you?
Just have them or folks just contact me directly by telephone, which is a 949 area code 413-6535. Or my office, 949-698-6222. You can contact me by email, which is bill@wfblegalconsulting.com. Take a look at that website. There's also another site I have, which is Business Asset Protection 365.com, and an employment site as well. You'll all be able to see by going to the main website. Please don't hesitate. If you don't have these things in place, protect yourself and your business. It's well worth your while. You didn't start your business just to falter and succumb to workplace issues that you could easily prevent.
Oh, great. Thank you, Bill, for the this very important episode information. Again, reach out to Bill. His contact information is below. And thanks for joining us on this episode of the Bottle Business Sense Show. I'm Rick Moscoso signing off. We will see you again next week on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Take care, everyone.
Have a good week, everybody.